Okay, so now we're going to go to the Umrah lecture. All right. Regardless of which package you're on, regardless of how your setup is, you're going to be performing Umrah. Most American Hajis, they perform the Umrah, then they perform the Hajj. So when you're performing the Umrah, a couple things to keep in mind. I'm going to skip all this stuff. There's basically four major acts. Number one, tawaf. Tawaf means to circle around the Kaaba. Number two, Salat Maqam of Ibrahim, which I'll talk about later. Number three, Sa'i. And Sa'i is basically running between Safa and Marwa. And number four, shaving the head or trimming the hair. These are the four major acts of the Ihram. All right, so let's talk, of the Umrah, which is done in the state of Ihram. So let's talk about these individually. Obviously, we've already talked about the Ihram, so I'm not going to go into that again. Before you begin Umrah, you're going to do the standard things, which is get yourself settled, enter into the masjid, make dua when you see the Kaaba, as I described previously. One thing you want to keep in mind is that you're going to wait for the proper time. Look, if you get there and all of a sudden people are going to pray Asr prayer in 5 minutes, don't start the Umrah. You're just going to get confused and you're not going to know how to deal with the legal aspects of being halfway through tawaf when the prayer starts. So just wait. Give it a few minutes. Do it at a time when you can properly do it with a window, all right? So what you'll do basically is you'll wait for the Asr prayer or the Dhuhr prayer or whatever prayer is it's occurring, and then create a window of time to properly perform the Umrah. Okay, the first act of the Umrah is the tawaf. Tawaf in Arabic means to circle around. Legally, it means to circle around the Kaaba 7 times with an intention. Spiritually, it's the lover circling around the home of his beloved or her beloved, okay? So, let's not worry about the whole history of the Kaaba and when it was rebuilt and the merits associated with it. Let's just talk about the tawaf in general. Remember that the first thing that you're going to do when you need to perform the tawaf is you're going to locate your start point. And there is a particular point at which you're going to start, and I'm going to give you an image of this in a minute. You need to be in a state of wudu. It's wajib for tawaf. So when you perform the tawaf, you have to be in a state of wudu. So make sure that you're in a state of wudu. Then you're going to locate something called the black stone, Hajar Aswad. Most of you have heard about this stone. The black stone is the name of a stone that was descended from heaven. When it was descended, it was white. Mankind has touched it and it sucks up their sins, so it turned black. So this is called the black stone. It's located in one particular corner of the Kaaba. And the way you're going to recognize it is that if you look at the wall opposite the black stone, so let's say that, okay, this pillar right here is the Kaaba. Just imagine that this pillar, this four pillars has four corners. So let's say that that corner here, I don't have a laser pointer, but let's say that corner here is the black stone. Then if you look way out over here at the wall along that corner, you're going to see a green light. That green light is a green fluorescent light. That is the black stone. That's opposite Hajar Aswad. The other way that you recognize it is that if you look at the corner, if you follow the corner and go out towards the extension of the masjid, let me show you the image. Here. So if you look at this image, I can't see which one is a black stone, but I'll just tell you that this image here, let's say that this is the black stone, okay? Here, if you look over here, there'll only be one minaret. So the black stone faces the one minaret. So that if it's all in one line, and there's two minarets here, two minarets here, two minarets here, two minarets here, the whole masjid has two minarets. But the one minaret is in line with the black stone. So that's the other way that you're going to recognize the black stone. All right. Now, when you find the black stone, okay, when you find the black stone, what you want to do is you want to situate yourself. Actually, I can do it from here. So this is the black stone. This is an imaginary line. Now, for those of you who have been there in the past, this line used to exist. They used to have a black line, a brown line with tile on the ground. They've taken that away. All right? So basically, there's an imaginary line. You're going to draw an imaginary line in your mind. What's happening is people are making tawaf like this. Everybody's walking this way. All right? So again, this is the direction of the tawaf. People are all walking this way, the way my arrow is moving. Now, what's going to happen is you're going to find the black stone and you're going to make an imaginary line on the floor here. And when you create that imaginary line in your mind, you're going to select a location a few steps before that line. You're going to step a few steps before that line so that the entire stone is to your right if you were facing the Kaaba. So you're going to be standing before the stone. Right? But you're not going to be, so basically here's where you're going to be standing. You're going to be standing a little bit before this line. You're not going to be standing out here. Right? It's sunnah to stand just a little bit before this line. Now, when you stand before this line, what you're going to do is, if you're a male, you're going to expose your right arm. So you'll take your ihram. Let me just show you. Right, because you're performing umrah. So you're going to be wearing your ihram, and you're going to, if you're probably going to be like this. This is the way that you're going to be traveling from the airport, etc. But what you'll do is, when you're standing right before that black line, you're going to expose your right shoulder. So your right shoulder will be exposed. If you're a male, all right? If you forget to do it, your tawaf still occurs. So it's okay if you forget to do it, but the sunnah is to expose the right shoulder when you're going to be doing a sa'i afterwards, which is what you're going to be doing for umrah. So keep that in mind. Now the next thing that you're going to do is that you're going to stand facing the Kaaba. So you'll be facing the Kaaba such that the imaginary line of Hajar Aswad is all the way on your right-hand side. You'll make the niyyah for tawaf. You don't have to specify what type of tawaf you're making, but basically you're going to be doing umrah at this point. So you'll say, Ya Allah, I intend to do the tawaf for umrah. Make it easy for me and accept it from me. All right. The next thing that you're going to do, so basically let me just use this as a model. Let's say that this is the Kaaba, right? And this is the black stone, right? So everybody's making tawaf this way. This is the way that they make tawaf. Your Kaaba is always on your left-hand side when you're making tawaf. So if this is the black stone, right, you're going to be standing, here's the line, the black stone, you're going to be standing just a little bit before that line. You're standing facing the Kaaba, you're making dua, Ya Allah, I intend to make tawaf for umrah, make it easy for me, accept it from me. Now you're going to turn this way, in the direction of traffic. So now you're going to be turning in the direction of traffic, and then you're going to complete these parts of the tawaf. So now you're going to align yourself so that your left arm is in line with the corner. You're going to move up towards the stone line, and you're going to align yourself so that your left arm is in line with the corner, right? Your body's facing the direction of flow. And then with your feet planted this way, you're going to turn your chest towards the Kaaba. And then you're basically going to raise your hands up to your ears, all right, while you're facing the black stone, but your feet are aligned in the direction of traffic, and you're going to say, Bismillahi Allahu Akbar. Okay? And that's going to be the takbir. So Bismillahi Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. This is the takbir that starts your tawaf. This is something you should memorize in the Arabic language. Even if you just say Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, that's fine. Okay? So this is what you're going to do, making a takbir. Then you'll put your hands down. Now, after this point, it's sunnah to go and kiss the black stone three times. So what the Prophet ﷺ did at this point was to take your two hands, put them on the black stone and kiss it once, and then remove your face, kiss it twice, remove your face, kiss it three times and remove your face. Alright? That's not happening. There's just no way. It's so difficult to even get near the stone, let alone put your two hands on the stone, let alone even get your lips on the stone for a moment, one time. It's just too crowded and it's too violent in there. So I would recommend that you just not worry about this part at all. So the way that this is made up for, this whole thing is called istilam, by the way. The way that it's made up for is that wherever you're standing, you'll be in line with the black stone. You're going to put your hands forward, okay, and then bring them towards you and kiss them gently. And that's the way you're going to be performing your istilam. So you'll be doing this every time you pass by the black stone. So what you're going to do is you're going to put your chest towards the stone. Bismillahi Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. Put your hand forward as if you're touching the stone. Bring your hand towards you and make a slight kissing motion. And that will take care of your takbir and your istilam. Now, if you're performing umrah, let's say that this is the month of January, July, and you're performing umrah, then no more talbiyah. There's no more talbiyah after that. If you're performing hajj, then you'll continue to recite the talbiyah throughout the rest of the journey. We'll talk about more detail. That begins at tawaf. So now let's talk about making the circles around the Kaaba. The way you're going to make the circle around the Kaaba is that you're going to do it counterclockwise with the Kaaba on your left-hand side. So you're always going to be moving with the Kaaba on your left-hand side. Everybody will be moving in the same direction, so it'll be obvious. Now, what are you supposed to recite while you're making the tawaf? There's nothing in particular you have to recite. You can recite Quran, you can make dhikr, you can recite La ilaha illallah. Whatever is easy, there is no established prayer. You're not going to make any talbiyah. You're not going to be reciting labbaik, allahumma labbaik during tawaf. but you should have a plan in your mind. So you can recite anything. The only mistake you can make is to go there without a plan. Because if you go there without a plan, then you're walking around thinking, what should I recite? So for half the turn, you're thinking, should I recite this? No, I should recite that. You don't want to be worrying about that. So have some plan in your mind. I'm going to recite the kalima. I'm going to recite some kul huwallahu ahad. I'm going to recite the surah Fatiha, whatever it might be. And then recite that as you make your circles around the Kaaba. Now, the corner that occurs right before the black stone is called the Yemeni corner, Rukn Yemeni. Now, this corner is a special corner in that if you can touch it with your right hand, you want to touch it with your right hand. And if not, you want to, or you can touch it with both palms. But if you cannot touch it, you're not going to do anything. So you'll see a lot of people, as they pass by this corner, they'll start doing this kissing motion. They'll put their hand and wave their hand towards that. None of that is from the sunnah. So we're not going to do any of that. Because the probability of touching it is very low. Again, it's very hard to get near it. But once you pass this corner, it's sunnah to recite, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That's sunnah. You don't have to do it, but it's sunnah to recite that. All right, with each circuit, you're going to pass by the black stone, and every time you pass by the black stone, you're going to make istilam, so you're going to put your hands forward and then kiss them. All right? And you're going to be doing that by saying Bismillahi Allahu Akbar each time. So you walk by, Bismillahi Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. You walk by again, Bismillahi Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. So each time, you're going to make the istilam. You're going to make 7 rounds total. And you're going to complete the 7th round with an istilam. So you'll do that after the 7th round as well. After you make the tawaf, you then recover the right shoulder. So once the tawaf is done, the opening of the right shoulder ends. All right, now, for males only, it's sunnah in the first 3 rounds of the tawaf to do something called ramal. Ramal basically means that you stand, it's this sort of like military march, where you stand in an erect motion, and you kind of make this very slight jogging type of motion up and down. All right? So that's sunnah to perform the ramal in the first 3 rounds only. All right? And it's only for males, and it only goes up to round number 3. You don't make it up. So if you miss one round, you're not going to do it in the 4th round or the 5th round. Now, you do it at a slow pace. You don't need to be zigzagging and running. You'll see there's some individuals, they'll just be zigzagging and running between people thinking that they need to run quickly. You'll just do it at your own comfortable pace. You probably won't be going very far. And I'll tell you, if you think that's easy, ramal is very hard. It's tiring. Because you're making this motion and you're doing it at probably a snail's pace. You know, the whole thing is moving so slowly. So it's not easy to do ramal. So don't think that it's easy. So it's something that takes a little bit of energy and it's sunnah to do. So we're going to be doing that during the first 3 rounds. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that this area here that I'm circling with my arrow, this is called the Hatim. This is part of the Kaaba that used to be part of the structure. What happened was is that during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they rebuilt the Kaaba. And when they rebuilt the Kaaba, they made an announcement that only halal money will be used to rebuild the Kaaba. So when they collected all the halal money, they didn't have enough money to put this part in. So they just simply remade the structure this way and left this part out. So this is technically part of the Kaaba. So when you're making your tawaf, you're walking this way, right? This is the black stone. You're walking this way. What's going to happen is that as you go through, you cannot cut and take a shortcut through here. Because if you shortcut through here, you actually did not go around the Kaaba, you went inside of the Kaaba. So you're going to walk all the way around. Okay, so this is the way we're going to circle, making sure that we keep the Hatim inside of our circle. The other thing is that you have to remain inside the masjid when you're making tawaf, so you're not going to take a taxi and have it drive around the outside of the masjid 7 times. And you can do it on the upstairs and the 3rd floor, etc. That's all fine. Okay, so keep that in mind. Alright, with every step that you make, the Kaaba has to be on your left-hand side. If you turn and face the Kaaba and then take 3 or 4 steps, those are all nullified. You have to go back and remake those steps. And if you don't go back, the whole round doesn't count, and you'll just redo the round. So the whole time through, the Kaaba has to be on your left-hand side. You cannot turn your body any other way. All right, all 7 rounds should be performed together. So you're not going to do 4, take a break, and then do 3. Do all 7 together. If the salah starts, you just pray right there. What will happen is, wherever you are, you'll just stop, and they'll call the iqama, and everyone will pray. And then after you're done with your salah, I would take 2 steps back, and then continue. And don't pray sunnah, because people will just start. You know, you'll get crushed. You do not pray sunnah at that time. You pray your fardh. As soon as the fardh is done, get right back up and start rotating around again. All right? So that's what's going to happen if the salah starts. How long does the tawaf take? It depends. Could take 2 hours. Could take an hour and a half. You have to be in wudu the whole time. If your wudu breaks, you have to leave, go remake the wudu, and then you can restart the tawaf. Start from the round that you left off on. If you're confused about the number of rounds, then you go with a certain number. So if you're thinking, is this 6 or 7? Just say, forget it, it's 6, and then continue. And if you enter into the 8th round, then you have to do 6 more to make a second tawaf. So be careful about your count. All right, now once you finish tawaf, you're going to undo the exposure of the right shoulder, and then you're going to go to a place called Maqam Ibrahim. What's Maqam Ibrahim? You see this little golden structure here? Right here, it's on this picture, this golden structure. This place is called Maqam Ibrahim. Now what's special about Maqam Ibrahim is that it is the place that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam stood, or there's a special rock there that he stood upon as he rebuilt the Kaaba with his son Ismail alayhi salam. So this is called Maqam Ibrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. I think that's the ayah. So it says that take the Maqam of Ibrahim as a musalla, as a place of prayer, and that applies to this area that is highlighted here. So what's going to happen is that after you finish the tawaf, you're going to make salah at Maqam Ibrahim. Now, it's way too crowded to try to even make salah at Maqam Ibrahim. You'll see, people will try. People will be sitting there. They'll be getting crumpled. They'll be getting smashed. They'll be putting their hand out. It's just not worth it. You're not going to be able to focus. So what you're going to do is pick some area away from Maqam Ibrahim, but in line with Maqam Ibrahim. And if that's not possible, pick some area, any place in the masjid, with the niyyah of praying behind Maqam Ibrahim. But in the days of Hajj, it's too difficult to pray here. So as a group, we're going to back off, come underneath some area here that's less crowded, and we'll make our prayer out here, you know, peacefully and safely. All right. Now the next thing we're going to do is go to Zamzam. Zamzam basically literally means plenty or abundant. Legally, it refers to water that arises from the famous well. That well is just located right at the edge of the Mataf. The Mataf is the place where people make tawaf. So you can see where the well of Zamzam is in relation to the Kaaba. And you can see where it is in relation to Maqam of Ibrahim. So what we'll do is, we will go to the coolers. They used to have access to the well, but that's been removed. So we'll go to the coolers, and we will interact with Zamzam. What we'll do is basically we'll go to the coolers or the area where they've created these pipes, and we will wash our face, we will drink it, we will just basically drink as much as we can, pour a little bit over the body if possible, and then we will have fulfilled our interaction with Zamzam. Now this is a really important time to reflect, because the well of Zamzam is very blessed. In fact, it is the backdrop of Mecca. I don't have time to explain this right now, but if you listen to the lecture on the website, you'll see that there's a lot involved with Zamzam. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that Zamzam is whatever you intended to be. Very beautiful hadith. Zamzam is whatever you intended to be. So if you intended to be cure, then it's cure. If you intended to be growth for your heart, then it's growth for your heart. If you intended to be a blessing for you, it's a blessing for you. So whatever intention you make, that's what Zamzam becomes. So you want to interact with it, drink it good, drink it well, make some dua at that place. All right, again, I told you that you should make dua at this location. Let me just share a gem with you. There's some very, very special things that, you know, you learn from your teachers, and then they just become so valuable that they're more valuable than even what money can buy, you know. So there's one gem that my teacher taught me at this location, and that is that, you know, this well basically was the well that resulted in the founding of Mecca, Mukarramah, right? So basically at this well, what happened was that the well was formed. When the well was founded, then because that well was founded, people began to move into that area, animals began to move into that area, and then slowly that became the backdrop for the founding of Mecca. So out of a desert arose Mecca because of this well. So the dua that we should make when we go to this well is that, Ya Allah, in the same way that you quenched the physical and spiritual desires of the people of this location through this well, Ya Allah, in the same way, quench my physical and my spiritual desires. And also, Ya Allah, on that day when there is no water available, make this a source of quenching my thirst, which is going to be the day of judgment, right? So we want to make abundant dua at that location. All right. Once we finish that, the next thing that's recommended is to go to the Multazim. The Multazim is the name of the wall that's between the black stone and the door of the Kaaba. It's sunnah to make dua there. That's not going to really be possible while we're making tawaf because it's going to be too crowded. So what I would basically do is I would say after you interact with Zamzam, make dua looking at the Multazim. Say, Ya Allah, if I had the opportunity to stick to this area of the Kaaba, I would stick there and make dua in your name. So Ya Allah, accept my dua from this distance and then make your dua from away from the Multazim. Alright, then it's sunnah to make istilam. So we'll go back to the black stone and we'll say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, kiss our hands. So that'll be the ninth istilam. And then finally we're going to go and perform the sa'i. So now I want to talk about the sa'i. Okay, as far as the sa'i is concerned, remember that there are four major acts of Umrah. Number one is the tawaf, number two is salat, maqam Ibrahim, number three is the sa'i, and number four is to trim or shave the head. Sa'i refers to running back and forth between two mountains, one of which is named Safa, the other is named Marwa. And to run between those two mountains is called the sa'i. We do this because Hazrat Hajra, she did this when she ran back and forth looking for water for Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, and we do this seven times mimicking her action. Now we already talked about this. Once you have to perform the sa'i, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to proceed towards the mountain Safa, which is just a raised hill basically. It's in the direction of the green light on the wall. So if you're confused, if you look at the green light up against the wall, which was opposite Hajar Aswad, you're just going to walk further in that direction behind the green light or towards the green light, and you will end up at this mountain or this hill. When you get there, you're going to say, أَبْدَأُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. I begin with that which Allah began. إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. So what you're really saying here is, oh Allah, in your Quran, you mentioned Safa first, and then you mentioned Marwa second. So I'm going to begin with Safa first, and then I'm going to go to Marwa second. So that's really the intention you want to have, or what you want to think about as you're heading towards Safa. Alright, once you get to the mountain, you're going to climb it slightly, just a little bit, so that the Kaaba becomes visible, and then you're going to make the niyyah for Sa'i. It's the same niyyah. Oh Allah, verily I intend to perform sa'i between Safa and Marwa seven times, you know, seven circuits, so make it easy for me and accept it from me. Same niyyah. The same easy for me, accept it from me is the same theme. So you're going to make it in English, Urdu, Arabic, whichever you're comfortable with. Then you're going to face the Kaaba, raise both your hands to your shoulders as if you're making dua, and then you're going to make the following statements. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. And then you're going to say salawat. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. And then make any dua you want. Sit and make abundant dua. And you can think about whatever you want. You can think about the history of this place, etc. For example, Ya Allah, from this barren land you raised up a well and you established civilization and religion through that well. So Ya Allah, from my barren heart, establish deen and establish your nearness, okay? Ya Allah, from this barren land and from this area, you raised a well and established deen. Ya Allah, I live in a place where there is basically, spiritually, the place is barren. So Ya Allah, establish deen in my homeland, okay? Or Ya Allah, verily it was at this place. You know, there was a famous house that existed at Safa called Dar al-Arqam. Dar al-Arqam was the place where Hazrat Umar converted. So it's right by the mountain, so you can say, Ya Allah, this was the place where you gave Hazrat Umar the tawfiq to convert, and you gave him so much strength and energy toward the deen. So Ya Allah, give me the tawfiq to turn myself toward the deen with that much energy, just like Hazrat Umar turned himself to the deen with energy. Alright? So these are some du'as that you're going to make. It's recommended that you stand there for a couple minutes and really make du'a, actually. Once you finish your du'a, you're going to go towards Marwa. Marwa is the right lane. It's very similar to a long escalator. So you'll go on your right, you'll see everybody walking in the same direction, it won't be confusing, and you'll start walking towards Marwa. Now as you're walking towards Marwa, you want to make your dhikr, you want to make dua. One of the things that you should try to remember, which is a sunnah, is to make this dua. Rabbighfir warham, antal a'azzul akram. Okay? Oh my Lord, Rabbighfir warham, oh my Lord, have mercy on me and forgive me. Antal a'azzul akram, you are the most grand and the most noble. or the most aziz and the most noble. So this is a dua that should be recited, and I would recommend that you memorize this dua in Arabic. You're going to recite this between running between Safa and coming back to, it's running towards Marwa and coming back towards Safa. Now in between, as you're walking through this area, there are two green lights, okay? And during that period of the green lights, it's sunnah for males to run quickly. So with a quick pace, you're not going to run like a sprint, but you're going to quicken your pace in between those two green lights. And you'll see everybody doing this. It won't be confusing, inshallah. Once you get to Marwa, you'll climb it slightly and do the same thing. Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Recite the salawat and then make dua. This completes one round. You'll come back to Safa, round two, go back to Marwa, round three. So in the end, you're going to end up at Marwa. You started at Safa, but you're doing an odd number of rounds. So you're going to end up at Marwa. Now, a couple things concerning sa'i. You don't want to take a break in between. All right. It's permissible if you're absolutely fatigued, but it's sunnah to not take a break. If you're unsure of the number of rounds, go to the lowest number. If you start at Marwa, that first round won't count. And basically then when you get to Safa, you'll start your true count. Again, it's sunnah to do all the rounds together. You never perform sa'i as a nafil ibadah. It always has to be after a tawaf. So you never are going to just go and perform sa'i as part of your everyday ibadah. Okay? It's only done when you perform a tawaf and then a sa'i after it. So keep that in mind. Once you perform sa'i, the final thing you have to do, very straightforward, is shave or trim your hair. It's recommended by the Prophet ﷺ to shave your head. If you don't want to do that, you can go ahead and trim your hair. This will release you from the ihram. Now, the only person that will not do this is the qarin, the one performing Hajj Qiran. So, for those individuals who are in the express package of Hilal Tours, you will not shave your head, you will not cut your hair. We will remain in the ihram and we will go straight for the Hajj in that same ihram. So, the only individual who will not shave their head is the one who's doing Hajj Qiran. What we mean by shaving the head is that you shave off all the hair of the head. What we mean by trimming the hair is that you trim off 1 inch from all over the head. So you'll trim off 1 inch of hair from all over the head. If you're bald or if you already had your head shaved previously, then you'll simply pass a razor over the head. Women, the way that they will not shave their head. It's not sunnah for them to shave their head. In fact, it's makruh for them to shave their head. So what they will do is they will trim their hair. The way that they will trim their hair is that they will take 1 inch from each area of the head. So they'll divide their hair into three parts, right, left, and back. They'll cut a 1 inch across the right, 1 inch across the back, 1 inch across the left, and then their hair will be trimmed. All right, if it's a female, she's going to do it in private, obviously, have a mahram cut their hair. Males will just go to the barbershop nearby. After you trim your hair, you're out of ihram. And once you do that, your umrah is complete and you're done. So if you're doing tamattu, time to relax, okay? You can just perform your ibadat in Mecca, etc. A couple things overall concerning the Umrah. Tawaf and Sa'i should be performed walking. If not, wheelchairs are available. For those people who need wheelchairs, they are available for both the Tawaf and the Sa'i. Wudu is required for Tawaf. It's not required for Sa'i. If a Farad or Janazah Salah arises during Tawaf or Sa'i, you'll stop at the time of the Iqamah, join the Salah, and once the Salah is done, continue with your Tawaf or your Sa'i. Alright, don't worry about the sunnah. Once you finish the umrah, now you're going to spend time in Mecca. And I want to give you some careful reminders about spending time in Mecca. Number one, get every prayer in jama'ah. Sounds obvious, becomes a little bit difficult when you're there. So, you want to get to the masjid for every prayer. There's famous hadith in which every prayer is worth 100,000 times. That applies to farad prayer in jama'ah. So you want to get to the masjid for jama'ah. Now, when you're there for the hajj, if you haven't been there before, I'll tell you that the masjid fills up 20 minutes before the jama'ah, even before the adhan. If you do not leave your hotel room half an hour before the iqamah time, you're going to have difficulty getting into the haram. You'll probably be praying way out in the street, blocks away from the haram. So make your schedule carefully. You know, think about beforehand the fact that you want to try to keep all your prayers in the haram. All right. Next thing to do is avoid any haram. Don't start the TV. Just disconnect the TV the day you get to the hotel room. This is a time of your life when you don't want to deal with the TV. In the same way, don't get caught up in the cell phone. I would not even worry about having a cell phone. It turns out to be more of a headache than it is a benefit. All right. Perform as much tawaf as possible, but not before the Hajj. If you are in Mecca before the Hajj, just relax. perform your prayers, perform a little bit of extra ibadah, but don't tire yourself out because you're going to need energy for the Hajj. Remember that even looking at the Kaaba is a form of worship. You want to visit other sacred sites in Mecca if possible. But again, the big thing is to rest up for the Hajj. Don't start performing extra umrahs and extra tawafs. You're going to get sick. You're going to get tired. It's going to really take out a toll on your Hajj. So focus on the Hajj. Once the Hajj is done, you can do all the umrahs you want. Okay, now while you're waiting in Mecca, if you happen to be waiting in Mecca, on the seventh day, the imam will give a sermon after the Dhuhr prayer. You'll see that the imam will stand up and give a khutbah. In this khutbah, he describes the commands of Hajj. It's going to be in Arabic. You're probably not going to understand it. You should still listen to it. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the tawfiq to understand what needs to be understood. So this imam will give this sermon, and it's sunnah to listen to this sermon. All right, that's the last slide there. Okay, so I don't know what the schedule is. What time is Maghrib prayer here? 10 to 5? Okay, we're taking a 5-minute break, literally. 5 minutes. There's food out. I guess you guys, is that for them? Okay. You can take that food, inshallah. I'm starting exactly in 5 minutes, whether people are eating, etc., and then we'll continue, inshallah.